Good morning. This is Abby with your daily Berlin briefing for Monday, July 18th, 2022. On Wednesday, the Federal Statistical Office published the nationwide inflation rate, which fell by 0.3 points to 7.6% on average across Germany in June, although this is still a high figure. But in Berlin, the inflation rate stayed the same as in May, 8.6%. In other words, prices in Berlin rose 1 percentage point more than the national average. The difference is particularly striking in the price of gas. According to the statistics offices, it climbed by 60% nationwide in June of 2022 compared to June of 2021. That's already a massive increase, but in Berlin, prices increased even by more than 90%. The reasons for this are difficult to pinpoint. The Berlin-Brandenburg Statistics Office refers to the gas suppliers. One of them, the company Vattenfall, does not want to comment on the figures and referred to the largest supplier in the capital, GasAG. But even GasAG can't quite explain the numbers. A company spokeswoman wrote that the discrepancy could be due to the high level of competition in Berlin compared to other regions. And she added that the price of natural gas in Berlin in June of 2021 was below the national average. Therefore, the latest price increases could be higher in percentage terms than the national average. Another possible explanation is that due to the bankruptcy of several smaller gas suppliers, a large number of customers in Berlin had to sign new gas contracts. Because of the higher prices in 2022, the jump is also higher. Food also became more expensive in Berlin in June, faster than the national average, by almost 15%. In the rest of the country, on the other hand, prices only rose slightly less than 13%. The Food Trade Association was unable to explain this difference when asked. In general, food often costs more in large cities than in the countryside, which could be the reason for the higher increases. And finally, rents are also rising quickly in Berlin, which is driving up inflation. In June, they rose by 2.2% in Berlin compared to 1.7% nationwide. 0.5% difference may not seem like much, but it's worth noting that German households spend an average of nearly 20% of their expenses on rent. That's why the statistics offices weigh rent increases more heavily than many other prices when calculating inflation. Because fewer war refugees from Ukraine are arriving in Berlin, the welcome hall at the Hauptbahnhof is to be reduced in size. This was announced by the Senate Department for Integration, Labor, and Social Affairs. So from the end of September, the large tent will be dismantled, and in its place, a smaller, winterproof structure made of containers will be created. According to the Social Administration, the number of refugees has stabilized since the beginning of July. In the first half of July, an average of just under 330 people per day arrived at the main station. And when the tent was erected, up to 10,000 per day passed through the tent. The downsizing is also taking place in consideration of the energy crisis, because heating the uninsulated tent at the main station is not justifiable. However, should more refugees from Ukraine arrive once again, the necessary arrival and assistance services could be expanded again. Regardless of all this, the team of administrative employees who help as guides and language mediators will remain on site, both at the train station and at the central bus station. S-Bahn passengers must continue to plan for longer travel times on the S-Bahn line between Ostbahnhof and Zoologischer Garten. The good news is that the construction work between Alex and Zoo ended this morning around 1:30 a.m., and trains will resume service between Friedrichstrasse and the Zoologischer Garten. At the same time, however, the second construction phase begins today as well. This involves track and switch renewal between Ostbahnhof and Friedrichstrasse stations. S-Bahn trains will not be running in this area until July 28th. The S3, S5, S7, and S9 lines are affected. According to the Deutsche Bahn, replacement buses will continue to be provided for commuters, running every 5 minutes. They will run between Ostbahnhof, Alex, and Friedrichstrasse during the second phase of construction, and they will not stop at Hackischer Markt. Deutsche Bahn recommends using the M1 tram between Friedrichstrasse and Hackescher Markt and the M4, M5, or M6 trams between Hackescher Markt and Alex. As an alternative, passengers can transfer to regional rail services between Ostbahnhof, Alex, and Friedrichstrasse, with additional trains planned. It's also possible to change to the U5 between Alex and Hauptbahnhof and the U2 between Alex and Zoll. In southeast Berlin, the S-Bahn lines S8, S46, and S85 continue to run only as far as Berlin-Grünau and Adlershof, respectively. Regional rail services also continue to be disrupted due to bridge construction work near Königswusterhausen, where a replacement service has also been set up. Last Friday, the petition for a referendum, Berlin Climate Neutral 2030, entered its next stage. The Alliance wants Berlin to be legally obligated to become climate neutral by 2030, instead of, as planned so far, by 2045. For this, they need to collect 175,000 signatures within the next 4 months, and the signatures must be from Berliners who are eligible to vote. If successful, there will then be an election-like referendum on the bill submitted by the initiative. Spokeswoman Jessamine Davis stated that Berlin will have used up its carbon budget by 2030, and only if the city is carbon neutral by then is there a chance of meeting the goal set by the UN to reduce global warming to 1.5 degrees. In the initiative's view, the measures adopted by the Senate to reduce carbon dioxide emissions are not enough to achieve the goal. Instead, they want to draw up a binding roadmap which obliges the state to take appropriate action. Under the slogan, "It's not too late," the initiative will be promoting the petition for a referendum over the next 4 months. The Alliance is receiving support from the scientific community. Volker Quaschning, a climate researcher at the University of Applied Sciences, or the HTW, serves as the petition's confidant. He said, quote, "We are just seeing the gas crisis that we've been warning about for 10 years. The next crisis, the climate crisis, will be much worse." Unquote. From his scientific perspective, climate neutrality by 2030 is necessary to avoid devastating consequences for humanity. And according to him, if successful, this could turn Berlin into a Europe-wide beacon project of the climate turnaround. The Citizens Initiative had already collected 40,000 signatures last year to request the petition for a referendum. Since both the Senate and the House of Representatives rejected the climate policy request as too ambitious, the actual petition now follows with the second collection phase. In order to achieve its goal, the initiative has formed numerous neighborhood groups that are to collect as many signatures as possible in the coming weeks, and smaller events are to support the canvassing for votes, and signatures are to be collected in all 12 districts. The Berlin Climate Neutral 2030 referendum is the 54th referendum overall since the introduction of popular legislation 20 years ago. The referendums for the introduction of a model project for an unconditional basic income and for the extension of voting rights to broader sections of the population are currently still running. If you like our podcast, you can support us with a donation or simply help others discover us by liking and sharing our episodes on social media. Berlin Briefing will be back tomorrow. Thanks for listening.